with me, I'm sorry, and we can look at the Word of God. I do believe that you can. I don't believe that it's easy to lose your salvation because God is merciful and He's long-suffering. But I do believe that when people lose their salvation, there's little decisions that start and there's a long, slow slide and people do walk away from God. So anyway, but I don't want to focus on that today. I want to focus on your name is new. There's a new name written on your heart and where you are seated, because I do believe that you have got to understand that to really believe. You know, let's just look at this. If you believe that you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, are you going to turn on that garbage grant? Are you going to listen to that stuff? Are you going to do that stuff? If you really believe that you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, it could determine what you allow into your life. If you get a vision of being, Romans says it, like a co-joined twin together with Jesus, we might think, if we really get that deep in our heart, we might think twice before we allow that, whatever we were tempted with, into our life. Anyway, I'd like to pray before we start. Father God, thank you. Thank you for the Word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Bless all of those that put effort into this service, that were here and singing and leading in worship, and those that cleaned the building, and those that plowed out the parking lot, and those that prayed, and for everyone that made the journey to be here this morning, bless them. Thank you for them. Father, we just look to you. We think this place is special, not because the building has the right size and colors and any of that. It's special because of what's in it, and that is your body, the bride of Christ. Thank you for that. Thank you for everyone that's here today. Bless them in a mighty way. Our struggles, our trials are all different, in some ways the same, but Lord, we all have a need of one thing, and that is peace with God through Jesus Christ. We do pray for those that are not with us. Bless Roman and Mary. Bring healing to their bodies, Lord. Thank you so much for them. Also with Dan and Karen as they are traveling today, watch over them, bring them home safely. Just bless our service, Lord. Help me to preach this message with your Holy Spirit. Let there be no agenda, no fleshliness in the way, Lord. May I, in my earthly body, be out of the way, but yet be a vessel for your glory. We need you, God. Just meet us here in a real way. And if our hearts have needs, minister to us your grace and your love. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So a couple weeks ago, I shared with you about how the birth of Jesus ushered in a new covenant. We talked about how the veil was torn, and how that ushering in and how the torn veil gave you and I access to a holy God. We can come boldly to the throne of grace, and it ushered in a whole new covenant, and it made things so completely different from what they were back in that covenant, where you were dependent on the high priest and offering up of bulls and goats and incense and all those things. And now, today, we are in a whole new covenant where Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's monumental, and it's huge. And it's we read places in the Bible, I believe in Galatians, where you know, he warns us about not going back into those kind of things, not allowing us to be bewitched and not allowing us to preach another Jesus. But we want to preach to you the Jesus of the new covenant, the Jesus that cried and said, "It is finished." Thing I've been thinking about yesterday is, I think Jordan Roos stated this and first brought this to my attention, when God said at creation, "Let there be light." It was the first declaration of war against the darkness. Boom, I love that. Let there be light, because Satan is the worker of darkness. He likes to have our hearts and our minds and our souls darkened. The second declaration of war is when Jesus said, "It is finished." You know, we cannot add anything to what Jesus did for us when he brought in the new covenant. He made forgiveness and a relationship with God available through that, when he said, "It is finished," and that veil ripped in half and was torn from top to bottom, and now you and I have access to God. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, well, access, I haven't really been in touch with God. I'm telling you, I hope this message encourages you if you have felt that way. And I also want to tell you right up front, the kingdom of God is not in feeling. You know what? There are days you don't feel like you're in touch with God. There are days you don't even feel saved, perhaps. Maybe not. But for some of us, that's some days we have those kind of days. We don't feel in touch with God. We don't possibly even feel saved, but you still are based on His truth. I hope not, but if you are a typical crowd in the world today, some of you have contemplated walking away from God. That's just a reality. I hope there's no one here that has, you know, made a decision or you've been real serious about that. But if you look at the world and even in the church, we hear all the time about how the next generation doesn't want to follow in the steps of their parents. They don't want to go to the church their parents did. A lot of them leave the church altogether. We hear those kind of stories all the time. So I just want to be a realist here that if any of us have ever contemplated turning and walking away from God, it wasn't probably that we were just going to do this overnight, but you made decisions that put you on a slow fade away from God. And so I hope maybe that this message would inspire you to see what you believe and where you are seated in heavenly places. And are you making decisions that are going to keep you seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? Or have you made decisions that are going to start a slow fade away from God? Now, God, even in slow fades, God cares tremendously. God is there and He's like, He wants to grab you, He wants to bring you in. He tries to stop you, but He did not make you a robot. You have choices in what you do with your life. You have choices. You are free agents. You can do what you want to do. And at the end of the day, at the end of the road, we will get our reward. I hope that we can see what kind of a treasure we have in Christ Jesus. The first scripture that I want to look at is Revelation 2. And in this chapter, he was talking, admonishing the churches, mostly. He had just had a very blunt message to the churches in Revelation 2. And I'm not going to read all of this. It'd be wonderful reading. But he told them that they left their first love, and he rebuked them for holding to the doctrine of Balaam and eating and sacrificing to those things that were sacrificed to idols. And he kind of had to send them a rebuke on a number of things. And then he said in Revelation 2:17, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receive it." He said, if you overcome. Now, I don't know what you believe, but when I see what Jesus said in here, he's writing to the churches, and he says, if you overcome. He didn't. I honestly do not understand how you can preach a doctrine of being once saved, always saved, when Jesus said, if you overcome. If you make it through, brethren, he said, this is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give to eat the hidden manna, and we'll give a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth. Okay, beautiful. He's going to give us a new name. And I don't know about you, but I like that. I had a lot of names before I was saved, and they weren't nice names. And I've got some new names now, and I'm very thankful for that. And in Revelation chapter 3, we again read of Jesus' words, mostly warning and exhortation. He warned against lukewarmness. And in verses 15 and 16, he said, I have not found thy works perfect before God. However, that was in verse 2. He said, I haven't found thy works perfect before God. And then I'd like to read a few verses here. In Revelation 3, we're going to read in verses 3 to 5. He said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, again, he says, if you overcome, he that overcometh shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I don't know about you, beloved, but I love that thought. That God in heaven, that Jesus is up there and he's advocating for you and I. He's advocating for me. He is my lawyer, my defense, my counsel. He's saying, Heavenly Father, this man has brought his sins under the blood of Jesus. He's put his hope and his life in my hands, and he's a follower of me. I love that. He is up there advocating to God the Father and before the angels that hear this. Beautiful. In Revelation 3:12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God. Is his name written on you, beloved? Is his name written on your heart? I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Hallelujah. Does that excite anybody in this house? That his new name is written on your heart. To me, this is exciting, good news. You know, we're celebrating Christmas, we say. What is this all about? Is his name written on our heart? What is a new name for us? I have a new name written down in glory. I love that song. I'm not going to sing it to you, but I love that song. I have a new name written down in glory. What is your name? Is his name written on your heart? What has our hearts? Is it redeemed? Is it washed in the blood? Is it joined heirs together with Jesus? A new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, all things have become new. Are you a new creature? Is this a name that you have, born again, sons of God? Wow, you say, I'm a son of God. Romans 8:14 says that you are. How about fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God? Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God? I'm telling you what, some of the households in today's world, you look at them and you're like, I really wouldn't want to be a part of that place. But when you talk about being fellow citizens of the saints of the household of God, brethren, you've got something that you can jump for joy in. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, you've been adopted. Have you received your adoption? Are you still saying, I really don't want to do this? I just love it when I see people that go out of their way, and they go out of their way to adopt these children that need homes, and they bring them in. God bless you, Enos and Susie. I'm not sure if we have more here today. I'm right off the top of my head, but it's beautiful. Yes, a whole row right there. Bless you for that. You're not referred to as my adopted children. You are Jim and Sandra's children. God does not look at us and say, you're just my adopted child. He says, I've written my name. I've written a new name. You have a new name written down in glory. See, the devil wants to do anything that he can to get us to be discouraged, to walk away from him. He knows where our name is written. You might not understand all of this, but I'll tell you somebody that understands all of this, who you are and the name that is written on your heart, and that is the devil. He knows it very, very well. And it's important that we know it. The devil has no power. One thing that I might have shared this with the youth, but one thing that I was contemplating the other night is I was thinking about a relationship that I felt was strained. And you know, a part of me wants to be heavy about that. But I had to believe this. I feel like the Holy Spirit said, no, you do not have to be heavy about it. Because if you want what is right, I am more powerful than the devil. Think about that. Now you say, well, brother, I'm not seeing that working. I'm not seeing this working in my life. How long are you willing to believe? Do you really think that the devil has more power than you do in Christ? If you think that, you're believing a lie. God has more power than the devil. Hebrews 2:14 tells us that power of death is destroyed. If you think and you look at a person or a relationship, maybe even your marriage, and you're like, I've given up, you need to believe God for that. Do not believe this lie. And I'm not saying that in your life, I'm not going to promise you that it'll ever change, but you do not have to believe the lie of the devil that it's impossible. Believe God. God is more powerful. This is the key to the question. Do you want that as much as God wants it? Probably not, but you can want it with all your being. God wants to see reconciliation. He wants to see healing. He wants to see wellness, even more than us in our earthly bodies. God wants that because that's who He is. He's a restorer of the breach. He came to redeem that which was broken and lost. So if you look at a situation, even maybe a private dark sin in your life, you look at that, do not believe the devil that says you cannot have victory. You can tell the devil, look, you're defeated. You can lie to me all day long. I want that so bad, and God has promised me victory. You don't have to believe his lies. Absolutely not. How about believing him in other things? Like you're thinking, well, I know that I probably shouldn't be this or do this, or I probably shouldn't be on my phone all the time. I probably shouldn't be turning on this or watching that, but, you know, my life is just so boring. Again, you're believing a lie from the devil. That stuff is not going to fill the void of your heart. What's going to fill the void of your heart is a relationship with your Creator through Jesus. And so if we're filling in this garbage, and we do, I'm just going to speak for all of us. I don't want to point any fingers. I know that we're a body, and I'm not going to say you or you or you. We turn on stuff. We listen to stuff. We watch stuff that is absolute garbage. And we cannot expect good fruit if you put garbage in here. It's not going to, we can't. It's not going to work. So we have got to want what God wants and just immerse ourselves in those things. And if we do, we believe God for it, God will bring them to pass. Again, I'm not here to prophesy and say when or what or how it's all going to work out, but believe God. God has a way. We're chosen, blessed, saved, and redeemed. Revelation 3:12, and I will write upon him my new name. I'm going to read a few verses in Isaiah as well. Isaiah 62, verse 2 says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness. Isaiah 62, 2. And all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. And then in verse 12, he says, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Is that your name? Redeemed? Sought out? I know the Lord sought me for a long time, and I'm thankful for that. Sought out. A city not forsaken. God loves his church. So now we kind of... I probably just scratched the surface, but I hope that I have made my point that you have a new name. Now, where are his people to dwell, those that have a new name? Where is your dwelling place? There's this old song that I'd like to sing it, but I'm just going to read you the first verse in the chorus. It says, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed, and he supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now. Come and dine. You know, Jesus has a table spread for us that is beyond anything you can ever imagine.
beyond anything that we can ever imagine. Are we willing to sit at that table? Do we want to sit there with just, no, with all that he has to offer us? Ephesians 1, verses 2 and 3 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." You were chosen before the foundation of the world. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And hath raised us up together. Where are you today? Are you raised up together? And are you seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? I would contend with you today that if you're born again and you have sold out your life and given your life over to God, and you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, you've repented of your sins and you've accepted your forgiveness, that you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're like, "Well, look, I'm still right here on earth." No, in the Spirit, you are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is why I think if we understand this, where we are, where our spirit is, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Christ is right there with us. We're seated together with him in a heavenly realm, in a spiritual heavenly realm. Why? We don't want to allow anything of the world's tainted goods to come into us. It just does not fit together. Because we're sitting at a table that is spread where Jesus said, "Come and dine. Come here to eat. Don't try to eat this stuff that will never satisfy." We're so near to God. Do we believe it? Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ," again that word "in Christ," not "now we believe in a Christ that is far away and we have never seen him." No, you are in him. We are now in Christ, joined together. "Now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Sometimes, one time, before we made the decision and we followed Jesus and we received his forgiveness, we were far away, far away. But now we are together in him, seated together in heavenly places. We are made nigh, we are near by the blood of Christ. Another verse in Ephesians 3:20. If we are on God's side, if we obey God and his word, this is what we have promised. "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what you can even think to ask. According to the power that works in us. What is the power that works in us? What is that power working in you and I? Is it that power? Is it that power, the power of the living God? How much do we want the peace? How much do we want relationships? How are we thinking and what are we believing God for? Have we bought into the old enemy's lies and we've just given up on that situation and this marriage and that relationship? And have we believed his lies? We said, "No, I'm just not going to believe him for that. I'm going to believe God for everything that he brings to us to believe." Let's believe God. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, sometimes this is a longer term than we want to stand. We get impatient, we get sad, we get sorrow, we believe the lies that God doesn't hear us, and that's a weakness that we have as people. We can give up. We can say, "Well, I've prayed for 10 years, pray another 10. You know what? Time is nothing to God. Eternity is real, it's forever. But God understands and he hears, but we cannot give up and give up anything. Start thinking any single thing and giving that over. Say, I'm surrendering this to the devil. God forbid. He has no right to your thinking. He has no right to your thoughts. He has no right to convince you to give up. That is not who God is. He said he will do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask. And you say, well, where is it? You be patient. You just bask in where you're seated together in heavenly places. You walk your walk, and you talk your talk, and you live your life in Christ and leave it up to God to fix the situation. Now, there's maybe things that you have to do. Maybe there's some repentance, but you're not going to bring fixing and salvation in a new heart. You don't have that power. But you can believe God who does. What else are we? We're partakers of the heavenly calling. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, you are holy, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. Consider him. Partakers of the heavenly. You understand how beautiful that is? Yeah, we live on this earth, but in the spirit, you're partakers of the heavenly. You are seated together with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're partakers of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to turn there and get a few verses in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4. You're partakers of the Holy Ghost. This is very, very important. Because what happens when we get discouraged and we don't believe that God is hearing us, and we kind of give up and we stop believing in situations, and we kind of give up and we kind of can become disconnected to the Holy Spirit. Very important that you understand this. Beloved, I believe that we could be facing some very serious hard times as Christians. I really do. I don't know. I don't want to be a discourager or pour water over anybody's joy, because that's not what it's about. It's not, our joy isn't based on what's going on out there. But crazy stuff, like just yesterday, or some of my relatives were singing down in Branson, Missouri. Their church went to sing, and they were out in a public place. They were ordered to shut it down and get out of there. They're going to fine them each $50. You say, well, that's weird, but how real is that? I think those kind of persecutions are more real than we know. The media doesn't make a big deal of that. You probably won't read that in the news. But I think it's very important that you understand who you are in Christ, where you stand, and how you're going to stand and finish the course. Very important. Because if you're just this wishy-washy, you're not sure where you're at, you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you're giving in to all kind of other spirits, and there's mass confusion going on in there, you're not sure who you are, I'm telling you, you're in a dangerous place. Very important that you understand in what he says, that you're a partaker of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 6:4 says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Do you understand the seriousness of this? That when you have partaken of that holy, heavenly, the Holy Ghost and the heavenlies, you've partaken of all that, that you would again turn away and participate in the things of the flesh and the things of sin. Now, we don't believe, again, like I said, that this is an on-again, off-again thing, but there is a place that you can turn and you can go beyond where you will receive forgiveness according to this. I don't want anybody to be stumbled. I don't think anybody in here is in that place. But I just want to warn us, if you are on a slow fade and your heart is not right with God, you could be headed there. I just want to warn. I don't want that to stumble anybody. Your salvation is hard to lose. So there are rewards, there are blessings in Christ. Hebrews 12, verse 22 to 24. I'm going to get a few more there. Hebrews 12:22 says, "But you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels." See where you've come to. Amazing. The city of the living God. "To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven?" Where are we listening to? Are we listening to him that speaks from heaven? Colossians 3, verse 1. Who are you? Where are you seated today? "If ye then be risen with Christ," again, risen with Christ, you cannot be risen any other way. "Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God." Seek those things where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And he says this, "Set your affections on the things above, not on things of the earth." Where are your affections set? Where are my affections set? Set your affections on the things above, not on things of the earth. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things." God did all of this because of his great love toward us. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It was the Benham brothers that came up with this quote that said, "Being faithful to God is not about being in the right environment. It's about knowing God in the midst of any environment." Did you know that you can be in the midst of the darkest spot in the entire planet and be faithful to God? You can say, "Well, I've just got so many bad friends, and I really can't help myself." But, you know, there may be a time, like they say, that you become as who you hang around with. There may be a time where you just say, "I need to spend less time with that person or those people." There could be that, but while you are there, while you are in a relationship as a friend or whatever, while you are there, God has given you the tools and the power and his Holy Ghost, because you are seated in with Christ in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, where you and I, no matter how dark the world gets, can still shine as lights. You don't want to blame it on the environment. I sometimes say stuff, "Oh, I feel so bad for you young people." And I do, but I still believe in you. I believe that God can raise you up to be lights. But I do feel bad for you. You've got so many temptations, but in all of that, the power of Christ is not one bit insufficient to cause you to live in victory. You know, like our dumb phones, you know, we call them smartphones, but they've dumbed some of us down, where we almost can't live without them for a minute. You know, we've become dumbed down by them, literally. Those things can be a tremendous tool. And, you know, we talk about putting filters on them and all of this and that, and that's probably wisdom. If you've got problems, it's probably wisdom. But I would like to see all of us where we can have the dumb phone laying there and it doesn't have a hold on us. You know, we're not going to do without it. I mean, bless you if you do. I'd give you a blue ribbon if you can. But I'm telling you, in the world we live in, there's very few people that say, I don't want to live without a phone. But how about we master that and letting that stupid thing master us? You say, "Well, I don't have a TV in my house." God bless you. I'm very thankful for you that you took that stand. But how about you have a TV and you control what goes through that screen? How about that? Do we have the power to do that? Yes, we do, because we're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if we open the door, that R-rated garbage and that gunk and gobbledygook that the devil puts out, we let it inside our door, we're just inviting him in. Say, "Come on, come in here and influence my babies. Come in here and let my grandkids see this kind of garbage. Look, we can have the power over all of those things. We need to master that, not be mastered by it. How do we do that? We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You've got all the power you need. Do you want it? Do you believe God for it? You can live in the worst environment the world has ever known and shine as lights for Jesus. And if you have friendships and relationships in your life that are dragging you down, I'm telling you, tell them the truth. And if they do not receive the truth, maybe it's time to put a little bit of space between you. And I hope that's not friends in the church, because we want to bring everybody. But I'm just saying, if you find yourself in relationships and you're being drugged down and influenced, maybe you need to rethink that. We're not far from God, are we? We're close in the Spirit. We are in Christ Jesus. We're seated together in heavenly places. And it is in that place and in that power that we can master. We can be master over these things that the world throws at us. We can have a phone and be 100 miles out in the woods all by ourselves and not turn on and look at foolish stuff that Satan throws our way. Because we walk as children of light. We do not take part in the darkness. Seated in heavenly places, we're inseparable. Did you know that it's up to you? I don't like shaking my finger, it looks like some angry person, but did you know that it is up to you and I to believe? If you want a relationship with God, you want to maintain and be seated together in heavenly places. Did you know that there's nothing of the devil, nothing of the world, nothing. And I'm saying even maybe your family life or your church life isn't what you think. You're blaming them and whatever. You know what? You're just buying into the enemy's lies. And none of that stuff has to affect you as an individual and drive you into sin. None of it. That is not who we serve. If you allow the trouble there or the trouble in your home or a relationship, if you allow that to drive you and to cause you to react, that is who your master is. I love this story, and I think it's this true story, but I don't even remember where I read it. I love this how in World War II, where the German commander of this prison camp used to ruthlessly beat this guy. Just boom, boom, like beat him up. And then when the camp got liberated, the guy that got the worst beatings, he went in to the guy that was the commander, the Jap or the German, whatever it was, and he said, "You can leave this desk. I am now the master of this place." You know, that's what Jesus wants to do for you. Maybe there's some situation or some devil or some lie that is controlling your life. It's your master. It's what you focus on. It's what drags you down. It's what the devil tells you is not enough. And you allow that to master your life and control your attitudes and spirit and heart. Look, today you can say, "I'm giving that over to Jesus. I have a new master." Sin, lies, whatever it is, you're leaving this place at my table. You're gone. I'm going to give this over to a new master. I'm going to give this over to Jesus. He's now in control of this. Goodbye. You're out. You're defeated. You're done. So I'm just saying, the environment, maybe it's just crappy all around. Maybe it's terrible, and you're discouraged. You're like, it's infecting who I am. You need to just reconnect with that Jesus that is seated together in heavenly places. Those things are always going to be in your life on this side of eternity. Sometimes more than others, but I've not found utopia down here. I've not found that place where there's never a struggle to have to work through things and relationships and situations. It just doesn't exist down here because you're in the presence of sin and darkness. But you can be connected to Jesus and be seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You don't have to let that stuff bring you down. There's just no excuse, really, I mean, to not follow him. The choice is very real. I want to leave you with a few words of encouragement. And again, I hope I didn't come across as pointing fingers. I'm saying we're a body here. I'm not down on you because I think that you're doing this. You shouldn't do that. Look, we're a body. I say it's us. I stand with you, beloved. You are my brother and sister. You are the arm, the leg, the whatever your gift. You are part of that body. It's us. And as an elder pastor here in the church, I'm responsible. I'm not shirking my duty. I'm not blaming you. If you're discouraged and you're into things you shouldn't be, then I want to shoulder that blame. God help us. Isaiah, I'm glad we have an answer. Isaiah, his name is Jesus. Isaiah 43, verse 1. I'm going to read 11 verses. It'll be the last scripture. Isaiah 43 said, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Oh, thank you, Jesus. "I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You know, old devil, he wants you to think the waters are almost over your head and you're so bogged down. And if you might be thinking, "Preacher, if you'd even know all the stuff that I'm in." You know what? I care about what you're in, but Jesus does too. I'll tell you what, there's not one single thing that you're in that has to flood out that peace and joy in your relationship with God if you believe him for it. "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight," you are precious. Oh, beloved, I tell you what, I get so sad when I see these little babies that our country is offering up on the sack, the altar of selfishness. It's sickening. Every one of those sacrifices to self is precious. Every single one. You are precious. "You are precious in my sight. Thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west." Don't fear, beloved. The media, the devil, he's defeated. He's like a roaring lion, but he has no power over us if we stay close and connected with the Lord Jesus. Don't listen to the roars. Don't listen to the lies. Don't listen to the media that makes you think you're an oddball to follow God. If you think you're the only one left, praise God that you're still with him. But don't listen to their lies. "I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory." Hallelujah. "I have formed him, yeah, I've made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and shew us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may justify it, or let them hear and say, 'It is truth.' You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." There is no other way aside from him. If we have fallen, if we have walked away, if we have started a slide, it is not, we have by no means are going to give up. We're going to simply come back to him. We're going to ask him to just start that cleansing from the inside out. Can you play that song, Ryan? You have it up. There's a song that has blessed me over the years. When something's going on and you see it on the outside, it's because of what's happening inside. So maybe today you're in a place where you know there's things in there. You know you've allowed stuff, garbage, to have its place, even though you know now that you're seated together in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Maybe we've allowed garbage in and garbage is coming out. There's something that has to happen, and that has to start from the inside. And there's one way, and that's to believe Jesus Christ. It's to believe that he will forgive you, he will wash you and cleanse you, and that your seat with him is secure. There's a new name written there. If you've doubted that his name is written on your heart today, believe it again. Say, yes, Lord, I believe that your new name is written right there. God bless you. I'll let you close after me.